The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. Author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon. The saints and servants of the Most High God, I'm glad to be with you this day, and I hope you're tuning in and ready to receive some information about God's Word and, you know, what's going on. You know, as far as what's going on around the world, that is headlines everywhere on that, basically, that we're getting ready to explode, and that's the problem that the world has right now. But, you know, God's Word said these things were going to happen. And it is happening just like God's word said. So we're not a people of fear. We're a people that know the exploits of our God. We're a people that know God, and we will trust and rely on him. And it won't be long, as I mentioned before, even in my own congregation, that, you know, it won't be long we're going to see the beast of Revelation and the two witnesses come down to the earth, which I believe is Enoch and Elijah. Out of the book of Revelation. Now, why do I say it's Enoch and Elijah? Because the scripture says you're appointed to die once and then judgment. Every man has to die. So there's two men that haven't died yet. That's Elijah and Enoch. Those two guys have never died. So it would make sense to fulfill God's word that they'd be the two witnesses, because the two witnesses are killed by the beast of Revelation. So they fulfill that scripture that we're all appointed once to die. And then, and of course, in Revelation, tells you that they are resurrected. They come right up out of the streets of Jerusalem alive. And then there's a great earthquake that kills thousands of people after that in Jerusalem itself. So those are some of the things that's got to happen next, as well as the building of the temple. Or it might even just be a Tabernacle of Moses concept that will be taking place. So it doesn't have to be a stone temple. It could be a tent or something like that. But that wouldn't take long to set that up, you know. So instead of spending 40 years building a temple like Herod's temple, this would be something that could be done really, really fast. And so be alert, be ready. Be ready to hear the trumpet call. And to see the heavens open up with the coming of the rapture itself. The Lord will appear as the sign of the Son of Man. And then when that happens, he'll call his church up that are ready for him. That, you know, like Luke 21 says, pray that you are worthy to escape these things coming upon the earth. Wow, that's an interesting statement. I guess it says if you're not worthy, you won't escape these things coming upon the earth. So we've got to be worthy to escape these things coming on the earth. Kind of like the parable of 10 virgins. 5 virgins were ready to go, and that's all about the rapture there, parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready and had oil trimmed in their lamps. They were ready to go, and they went to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom didn't come to them. They went to meet the bridegroom. That would be a rapture concept. The other 5 foolish virgins were out trying to figure out how to get oil, but by the time they come back, the door was closed. That would be the door to the kingdom of God itself, and they were left out, and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be left out. We want to be in the kingdom. And like I've said many times before, there is a difference between salvation and kingdom principles. Most of the parables that Yeshua taught was the kingdom of God is like. He says that over and over again, the kingdom of God is like. So that tells you, there is, and a lot of those parables are action-oriented parables. They're not just faith and grace parables. So, you know, that's salvation comes by our faith and the grace of the Lord. But kingdom principles are action-oriented. You know, it depends on what we do. It is based off our righteous deeds. Yeah, I said it, our righteous works. And it's very important, you know. So many churches make it sound like works is a dirty word. It's not, but you got to be saved first. So if you try to do works to be saved, that's the wrong order. But if you are saved, then works are actually required of us to work righteous works. So a lot of things are coming down around the world. As I point out all the time, too, I've been lately teaching on the book of Revelation, and I point out that, a lot of the invasions and everything that's going to happen in Israel in the last days is Islamic. It's the Islamic nations that are going to do it. Psalms 83, Ezekiel 38, 39, they're all about Islamic nations attacking Israel. And we need to understand that. This is why Islam is growing around the world. They got like over 1 billion Islamics right now. And so when their so-called Messiah shows up, which will be the beast of Revelation, it says that every Islamic will do whatever he says. So if the beast shows up and says, I'm your 12th Mahdi, I'm your Muslim Messiah, then he's going to say, kill the infidels. And then the whole world will go into a major shakeup or shakedown at that time. And there's a lot in the scriptures about this, why it would be an Islamic. You know, Psalms 83 talks about all the nations coming against Israel. Every one of them is Islamic today, all the listing of all the nations in Psalms 83. You go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, all those nations that are mentioned in there are Islamic nations. You know, they say, well, that's Russia. That's not Russia. You know, you don't understand the history or your geography. That's not Russia. That doesn't mean Russia won't be involved somehow or another, but it's not Russia. But also the fact that slowly, bit by bit, Islam is taking over many countries. Islam is slowly taking over Europe. So this is going to be a major Islamic invasion of Israel. And, how does the Islamics want to kill the infidels? They chop off their heads. What do you read in the book of Revelation? They chop off their heads. Everything points to an Islamic invasion that is coming. And so we have to get right with God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians that the rapture will not occur till there be a falling away first and the son of perdition is revealed. So if that's the case, who is the son of perdition? Well, that would be the beast of Revelation. And so there has to be a falling away. Are we having a falling away? Majorly, we're having a falling away. It's a big falling away. There have been a lot of polls lately out on this. And, compared to what it was even 20 years ago, we have fallen on our face when as far as it comes to relationship with God. And so, all these things are happening rather fast. The signs are there. All the signs of Matthew chapter 24 are there. And we're just waiting now for his actually appearing of the sign of the Son of Man, which will institute the rapture when that occurs. So be looking up. You know, when that sign, the book of Enoch actually says, when that sign appears, the whole world will see it. So this is not going to be a secret thing. This is not going to be a thing where the people go, oh, did aliens take them? Well, they may say that, but the thing is it's going to be seen. The rapture is going to be seen by the whole world, and it would suddenly take place, and then those left behind will weep and gnash teeth for sure. Well, I want to continue on my story, my teaching on the spring Moedim. That's the spring feast of the Lord, Leviticus 23. We've already talked about Passover. Yeshua fulfilled the Passover. He was the Passover lamb. And then we talked about unleavened bread. Unleavened bread indicates righteousness. And that's where the Apostle Paul says, you are unleavened. And so because we have Yeshua, because he's in our life, he's in our heart, we are forgiven of our iniquities and our sin. That's unleavened bread. Then you had the first fruits, the barley first fruits. When Jesus rose from the dead, the graves were open and many of the saints rose out of their graves. You read this in Matthew, that when he rose from the dead. The graves are open, and they were seen throughout the city. That's the barley first fruits rapture. Now, the wheat first fruits rapture is coming up. Pentecost Shavuot is all about the weeks. Wheat first fruit rapture. So you got to understand that there are these, God uses plants and trees and fruit and all that to describe people. So the barley first fruits has already occurred. The wheat first fruits is coming. And we also know in Shavuot, which is also known as Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church. So there's a lot of things that's going to happen. And one day, probably on Shavuot, there will be the wheat first fruits rapture will take place. And so we got to be alert to that, be ready for that. You never can tell what might happen. But between the barley first fruits and the wheat first fruits, there's something else going on between them. A 50-day window between the barley first fruits and the wheat first fruits. It's called the counting of the Omer. Omer is a sheaf of grain. And so what happens is it says, from the day from barley first fruits all the way to the wheat first fruits, you are to count, number the days, 1 through 50. That's where they get the term Pentecost. Pentecost just means 50. Shavuot, which is the Hebrew term, means it's plural of weeks. Weeks in a plural. Because you are to count 7 weeks plus 1 day is what it says. Matter of fact, this is what the scripture says in Leviticus 23:15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, that's the weekly Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf, the Omer, of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meal offering, that's the wheat, unto the Lord. This is known as the counting of the Omer. This new meal offering is to be of wheat. This new meal offering is most likely talking about believers in Yeshua filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Scripture does not mention how much wheat must be offered. It is a first fruits offering. So a lot of believers don't understand what first fruits is. Let me explain that real quickly. Yeah. In the days of the Bible, a farmer will be growing, you know, a field of grain or fruit or whatever. He is to designate a part of that field as first fruits. So first fruits is always just a small portion of a larger harvest. And he designates it as first fruits. So when it is ripe and it is ready, he harvests it and he's got to bring that first fruits to the temple. Now, a lot of pastors use these concepts talking about giving and tithing and all that, and that's true for that also. But there's more than that involved in here. This is talking about people. You know, there are going to be first fruits people. This is the first of a larger harvest, because in the fall is a large harvest. So in the spring is when these will occur. The barley already occurred. The wheat's coming in the spring, and then sometime later in the fall will be the general harvest. Yeah, there's more than one rapture, and we got to understand that. So we want to be in the first fruits, because the first fruits is the king and priest to the Lord. The first fruits are the ones that enter the new Jerusalem as kings and priests to the Lord. You want to be in the first fruits. That's why it's important to understand the first fruit concepts in the Bible. The first fruits offering. By the way, that first fruits means also can mean firstborn. So it also can mean firstborn. That's interesting. And the Bible says Yeshua is the firstborn of those resurrected from the dead. So the Bible also says we will appear like him. So we'll be taking in that concept of firstborn also, as well as first fruits. This is very important, because firstborn, as everybody knows, has inheritance rights. And that's important for us to understand that. All right, so we get through the counting of the Omer. Then we get to Shavuot, Pentecost on the 50th day. And then on Shavuot, on Leviticus 23, verse 17, the priest is to wave 2 loaves with leavened bread. What's symbolic of leaven? Leaven means sin. So you're supposed to take 2 loaves of leavened bread, and you wave it before the Lord. Why two loaves? Well, typically when you're only talking about two things, it represents Jew and Gentile. So it's talking about those that are going to be delivered and going to be redeemed from both Jew and Gentile. So these two loaves of leaven is being presented. So it's the only moed or appointment of God where leaven is used. There's other places where leaven is used. But as far as being one of the major moeds, it's only place where leavened bread is actually used. This is to show that we are sinful and need a Savior. So these two loaves of bread will be waved at the altar before the temple by the priest, and to symbolize us in our sinful bodies, that the priest is willing to accept us as we are. Well, this is what Yeshua will do. He will present us to the Father. And anyone Yeshua presents to the Father will be accepted. So we must understand that, you know, that because of what he will do, he will present us to the Father to be accepted. And the Father will look at us as being sinless and will accept us. Absolutely. So this is pretty cool. And in Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 18, it does talk about when giving a peace offering for Thanksgiving, one is to use unleavened bread with oil and also leavened bread with thanksgiving for his peace offering. So here you have another case where leaven and unleavened are both used. And again, it symbolizes the same concept. Our bodies are sinful. So until we get a resurrected body, these bodies are sinful. So the leaven and unleavened is being presented before God, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, you are unleavened. He says this in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. It says this, purge out therefore the old lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the Apostle Paul calls us unleavened. That's the same phrase as saying you are the righteousness of God. Same thing. We are the righteousness of God. We are unleavened. We don't have yeast, which, you know, puffs up bread. We don't have yeast in us, spiritually speaking, in the eyes of God. And this isn't due to things we've done. This is because of the Son of Man, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, what he did for us. He made us unleavened. So it's important to understand the difference there. So we, as long as we're alive in this fleshly body, we are in a sinful condition, and we need to acknowledge it. But to continue to offering leaven indicates a heart that has not changed. So it says in Leviticus 2, verse 11, God is angry with those who offer meal offering with leaven. So in other words, we know we have a sinful body, but if we have Yeshua and we have the forgiveness of sin, why do we continue offering leaven with our offerings? This is what it's saying. It makes God angry. God looks at the heart. He knows we have a sinful condition, but what are we doing about it? Are we showing a change of heart? Are we doing the best that we can? It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall and make mistakes. The Bible actually says that even a righteous man can fall seven times. But he gets back up, it says. So we got to understand that. Even Yeshua warned us to avoid the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Luke 12, verse 1. He also warned us against the bad doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is also referred to as leaven. Yeshua also warned against the leaven of Herod, who had great pride and was an adulterer and a murderer. Matthew 16, 11 through 12. And Mark 8, 15. Galatians 5:9 tells us that a little lump leavens the whole lump. Even a little sin can destroy us. So it's pretty interesting that Paul talked about these things. And I'm sure he hears the same things we hear all the time. Oh, that wasn't much of anything. Oh, that was just a little sin. Don't worry about it. Well, a little lump leavens the whole lump. So we got to understand that we can't even have the little sins creep up on us, because it will cause us great grief and lose rewards and positions in the kingdom itself. These 11 loaves of Shavuot indicate the wheat first fruits of Jews and Gentiles in their sinful bodies being waved at the temple altar by the priest and presented to the Lord to be accepted by him. The priest is Yeshua. He will present us to the Father. Anyone Yeshua presents will be accepted by the Father. These two loaves of leavened bread were about 4 feet long and were made from fine flour that had been beaten 300 times and sifted 13 times. These are interesting numbers. 300 is the number of resurrection, and 13 is a number representing love. The concept here is that we are represented by these loaves. As believers, we are persecuted, beaten, and even killed, yet we are loved of the Lord. Acts 14:22 tells us that it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. I just had this discussion with somebody recently. I want to know, why is God always picking on me? Why do I always have such a hard time? Well, maybe God is testing you. We are told we're going to have tribulation in the world. What are you doing about that? Are you learning to become an overcomer? Are you learning to overcome with love? Are you learning to overcome by reading the Word of God and knowing and listening to God and knowing what to do? We will face tribulation. We will face hard times. But what are we doing about it? It's like a test, you know. We just want everything to just go smooth and we never feel any pain. That won't happen, because if that's true, then God owes an apology to an awful lot of people in the past, and martyrs particularly, that suffered through a lot of things. Shavuot is a Sabbath day and a statute forever. Blood offerings are to be presented, such as 7 lambs, 1 bull, and 2 rams. For burnt offerings, symbolically, lambs represent all believers. A bull represents a king or high priest, and a ram indicates priesthood. Those are the meaning of those animals. A burnt offering is a praise offering of ascent, where the entire animal is presented to the Lord for consumption by fire. Also offered is a young goat for a sin offering. Now, Yeshua is all these offerings, especially the sin offering. Yet we see a future concept here. The lambs are all believers, yet there are those who will be kings and priests before the Lord. They are the first fruits. This is why it is called a first fruits offering. Similar to the barley first fruits, the first fruits is only a small portion of the entire offering. When the farmer designates his first fruits at the beginning of his crops, when the time comes to harvest it on Shavuot, he brings the sheaves of the first fruits to the temple to present them to God. Whether barley or wheat, these offerings represent people. This feast is also known as the Feast of the Harvest, Exodus 23, verse 16, and also is called the Feast of Weeks, Deuteronomy 16, 9. The Scripture commands us to bring the first, which is the best or the chief, of the first fruits of the land to the house of our Lord, our God, Exodus 23, verse 19. Notice it says the first of the first fruits. The word reshith, which means beginning, as in Genesis, means best, chief, and choice. Do we give God the best and the chief choice of everything we do, not only our works, our offerings, our time? Do we give him the best and the chief? This is why it says you are to take your offering animal, whatever, even or if it's fruit, and make sure there's no blemish in it. You can't turn around and offer to God, you know, your fruit, like figs or grapes, whatever, and they're rotten and they're spoiling. That would be an insult to God. Neither can you take an animal that you're going to use for sacrifice. Say, well, just take that blind sheep over there, take that lame goat over there and offer to God. God would be definitely insulted by that. You are to take the best and the chief and the choice. So if you want the best from God, you make sure he gets the best from you also. And so it's interesting when we talk about all these things about first fruits. It's the way we should conduct our lives at all times. So, yeah, we got a lot more to talk about Shavuot. We'll pick it up again next week. We'll talk more about Shavuot next week, maybe even get to finish the teaching on Shavuot Pentecost. There's a lot to be said about Shavuot, and probably a lot more to be said in the future, too, about Shavuot. So, thank you for joining with me today. May God bless you and keep you, and his face shine upon you and lift up his countenance toward you and give you the peace of the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.